Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today I have a very important word that I want to share with you, and it pertains to a conversation that Jesus had in the book of John with a man called Nicodemus. And it's a very important conversation in that it affects every single person on the planet, because our response to these words of Jesus, well, they determine where we spend eternity. Today's message is also part 6 in our series that we've been doing called The Day in the Life of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to listen carefully, to lean in, and to let God speak to you today from His Word. Let's read together from John chapter 3. The Bible says there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again," I want you to note those words, born again, "unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "Well, what do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Verse 5, Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, and just as you hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "But how are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, well, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven." Twice here, Jesus emphatically states to Nicodemus that he must be born again. You know, that's a phrase that is often not used in churches all that much, and I think sometimes many preachers are reluctant to use it, and perhaps as a result of that, there are many people in churches who are unfamiliar with its meaning and also the implications that it has. And so let me just ask you at the start today, are you born again? Let me ask you that again. Are you born again? You know, it's likely that you will give one of three answers. You might say, "Yes, absolutely, I am born again." Or you might say, "No, I'm not. In fact, I don't even know what that means." Or perhaps you might be in the group that says, "Well, I'm not sure," or "I don't know," or as many good people say, "I'd like to think that I am." But the reality is, though, that we are either born again or we are not born again. There's no neutral ground. We're born again or we're not. And Jesus was insistent to Nicodemus that for anyone desiring to get to heaven one day, that being born again was not an option. It was an absolute necessity for spending eternity with God. Jesus was very clear about this, and you know, I believe it's important to you and I that we are also clear about whether in fact we have been born again. I personally don't want to step into eternity one day not sure about my eternal destiny. I'm not prepared to gamble with my soul, and I pray that you won't do this either, but I want to know this side of eternity where I'm going. And Jesus said that we can have absolute certainty of this by being born again. You know, we live in a world where we are told that there are many different ways to get to heaven and many different options. In fact, the world we live in is a world that is full of options for just about everything. You know, if you want a phone, well, there's many different options available. If you want to buy new clothes, many different options available. If you want to buy a new car, even if you have a certain budget, within that budget, there's still many different options available for you. You know, nowadays we're also told that there are even many options available for choosing a gender of your choice, or for choosing a lifestyle of your preference, or even choosing a relationship that suits what you want to believe. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so a few thoughts we see here regarding being born again. Firstly, is that Jesus is both inclusive and exclusive. He's both inclusive and exclusive. You know, that almost sounds like a bit of a contradiction, but it's not. Jesus was inclusive in that he said that anyone can be born again. The good thing is that salvation is not just available for a few select people or for certain race groups or for people of a particular social standing. No, no. Salvation is available for all people at all times in all places. In fact, in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Notice he uses the words anyone and everyone. You see, in the Old Testament, the Jews believed that they had exclusive rights to eternal life and that only they would be saved. But Jesus came to show that anyone and everyone can be born again and receive the salvation that God has made possible. You know, Jesus opened God's forgiveness and redemption to all people, and by doing this, he showed that he is inclusive. However, although he is inclusive, he is also exclusive. And that means that although salvation is possible for all people, there is only one way for that salvation to be received, and that is by being born again, by coming to God through the only exclusive means that he's made available, that being the Son of God, Jesus. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 6, again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So previously it was anyone and everyone. Now he says, no one can come to the Father except through him. So although all are welcome to come to God for forgiveness because he is inclusive, he is also exclusive by saying that Jesus is the only way to get to him. Another thing we see here is that there is no way to eternal life apart from being born again. Jesus very clearly said, you must be born again. So I suppose the question is, well, what does it mean to be born again? You know, clearly we see in this passage that Nicodemus struggled with this concept, so perhaps it's not surprising that many other people also do. But I think before looking at what being born again is, let's have a look at what it isn't. Firstly, we see that to be born again is not being a good person or doing good. You know, it's interesting that whenever you ask people if they're born again, they will usually justify their response by mentioning how good they are, or perhaps even listing all the many helpful things that they do for others. But this is never an accurate measure, because when we do this, we usually always compare ourselves with others whom we deem to be less good than we are or less helpful than we are. You know, Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus that he needed to be a better person. He told him, you need to be born again. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, echoed this when he once said that the scripture does not say you must be improved, but you must be born again. Another thing that being born again is it's not growing up in a Christian home or going to church regularly. You know, the Jews in the Old Testament believed that because they were descendants of Abraham and had grown up under the law of Moses, and because they were part of a Jewish household, that they had direct access to God. On top of that, because they attended the weekly services in the synagogues and they had Jewish heritage, they considered themselves worthy of God's stamp of approval. You know, and that's why, as we see in the Gospels, that the religious leaders continuously fought and argued with Jesus, because Jesus came to tell them that being Jewish was unfortunately not enough to get them into God's kingdom. Another thing being born again is not based on our importance or our education. You know, I think many incorrectly assume that their right standing with God is based on the knowledge that they possess or even what they know about him. But friend, knowing about God is definitely not the same as having a right relationship with him. Never forget that the devil himself knows a whole lot about God. In fact, it's sad to say that the devil sometimes knows his Bible a whole lot better than many professing Christians do, but the devil certainly has no relationship with God, and he's most definitely not born again. Another thing that being born again is not, it's not a feeling or an emotion. I think often people respond to God out of emotion or because they are feeling a certain way. You know, at the end of all our church services, we see people respond by raising their hands, but not all of those people go on to give their lives wholeheartedly to Jesus. Why? Well, because not all of them have been born again. I think sometimes people merely respond either because something in the Word has maybe stirred them, or very often perhaps because they're going through a tough season of life, and so their response was simply an emotional response to how they felt at that particular moment. Now, while being born again, I think should involve some sort of emotional response, you know, having all your sins forgiven, and there should be a change of feeling, it can't simply be limited to just that. Another thing that being born again is not, is it's not being more religious. You know, many people refer to themselves as being religious. And when they say that, they usually mean one of two things. Either that they believe in the existence of God, or that they subscribe to some form of spirituality. But being religious and being born again is definitely not the same thing. Charles Stanley gives a great definition of being born again. He's a great preacher, been preaching the word for many years. He's also the father of Andy Stanley. And in defining born again, he says this. He says, it's the act of God by which he imparts eternal life to those who are dead in their sins when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's the act of God by which he imparts eternal life to those who are dead in their sins when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we see here that it is an act of God. Thereby, it implies that it is not something that we can outwork on our own by being better people or even by doing more good works or even by being more religious. It requires the divine intervention of God through His Holy Spirit, bringing conviction and change to our hearts. And of course, in conjunction with that is then our own willingness to fully receive and embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and the only exclusive way to get to God through the forgiveness of sins. You know, what is interesting is that Jesus had this conversation in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, who was a religious man. And Nicodemus would have been seen to meet all the criteria for what we've just looked at, for which many people assume that they are right with God. The Bible says that Nicodemus was a Jewish religious leader and a Pharisee. Now, some of you might know that to be a Pharisee was to be a member of an ancient Jewish sect that very strictly and very obediently observed all the Jewish traditions and the law of Moses. And of course, they were held in the highest esteem by the people. So what that meant was that Nicodemus was a good person who did much good. He grew up in a Jewish home. He was regularly in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He was highly educated. He was also regarded as a very important person. And on top of that, he was very, very religious. Now, you might also remember that later on in the New Testament, when Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he referred to himself in a similar manner when he spoke of his life before he accepted Jesus as Lord. In Philippians 3, verse 5, Paul writes of himself and he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. So Paul here was really speaking about his before Christ days, but he wasn't writing about how bad he was. Instead, he was writing about how good he was. And what he was really saying was, I was as good as anyone could be. I was as authentic a Jew as anyone could claim to be. I was as religious as it was possible to be religious. And yet at the same time, he says, I was completely lost and completely separated from God. Why? Very simply, because he was not born again. You know, likewise, Nicodemus wasn't a rotten, feral, depraved person who went around openly sinning and blaspheming against God and causing all sorts of trouble. No, no, just the exact opposite. Nicodemus was, again, as good as anyone could be. And yet, until he came to that place of being born again, he had no right standing with God, and also he had no access to eternal life. Friend, as Jesus said, we must be born again. Now, the Bible also says that Nicodemus came to Jesus at nighttime, and it's very likely that he did this because he didn't want to be seen by others and was perhaps afraid of what his fellow Pharisees might have said of it. But the fact that Nicodemus did come to Jesus is itself quite astounding, because Nicodemus was seen by all the others to have ticked all the boxes for getting to God on his own. You know, if anyone met the criteria, well, then surely it was Nicodemus. But again, there was something on the inside of him that was unsettled. And, you know, despite all his credentials and all his education and his importance and his strict religious adherence, he still sensed that all was not well with his soul. And so he comes respectfully to Jesus and he says to him, "Rabbi, we know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." And so he acknowledges Jesus as being sent by God. Now, Jesus could have responded to Nicodemus by saying, "Thank you very much. Finally, one of these Pharisees recognizes that I am sent of God, that I am the Son of God." He could have given Nicodemus a high five or a fist bump, but Jesus pretty much ignores Nicodemus's greeting, and he immediately responds by giving him the gospel message in five words: "You must be born again." You see, sometimes we come to Jesus with what we think is the problem in our life, but Jesus always responds by showing exactly what the real issue is. And here he shows us that the underlying problem for all the issues that people face in life is rooted in the fact that their relationship with God is not right, because the first priority we have is to be born again. You know, the truth is that we can have everything else in life, but if we are not born again, we actually have nothing. You know, when we read this account in the scripture, we see that Nicodemus's response is to immediately ask Jesus, well, how can anyone enter his mother's womb again and be born a second time when he's already an old man? I mean, it seems like a ridiculous thing to say, but I think it also shows what is really going on in Nicodemus's heart at this time. You know, it's almost as if there's a longing on the inside of him to experience what Jesus is saying about being born again. But, you know, even with all his knowledge and his education and his religious experience, he knows that this is an impossibility. And again, I think what the scriptures show us here is that religion on its own, no matter how devoted a person might be or how sincere they might be, religion on its own will never, ever, ever, ever be sufficient to make us right with God and give us eternal life. Why? Because as Jesus said, we must be born again. You know, Nicodemus essentially experienced that eternal problem that all people face at some point in their lives. That being that I want to change, but I am incapable of changing myself. Adam Clark, in his commentary on the Bible, says of this passage that every man must have two births, one from heaven, the other from earth, one of his body, the other of his soul. Without the first, he cannot see nor enjoy this world. Without the last, he cannot see nor enjoy the kingdom of God. As there is an absolute necessity that a child should be born into the world, that he may see its light, contemplate its glories, and enjoy its good, so there is an absolute necessity that the soul should be brought out of its state of darkness and sin through the light and power of the grace of Christ, that it may be able to see. Another thought here about being born again is that it requires the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing Nicodemus was right about was that a man couldn't physically be born twice. And I mean, that's fairly obvious to all of us. So if it was not naturally possible, then we know that it must require a supernatural work that only the Holy Spirit can bring about. You know, to be born again is really about being changed in such a way that it can only be described as a rebirth. And the change comes when we choose to love Jesus above all else, when we allow him access into our hearts. But for that to be possible, there are three things that are required. Firstly, it requires conviction. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 8 of the Holy Spirit, that he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. You know, before we can be born again, we have to be made aware of the sinful state of our lives. And this is unfortunately never something that we can do on our own, because most people think they're good, and even people who are bad don't think that they're that bad. But until we can recognize our sin, we will never ever understand our desperate need for a Savior. You know, the Holy Spirit supernaturally works on our hearts to give us both the desire and the will to respond to God so that we can make a decision to receive his forgiveness. But again, if there's no conviction, well, then there's no urgency to turn to God. It requires conviction, but also confession. And confession is simply our response to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our hearts. And whenever he convicts us, well, we always have two choices. We can either ignore him and carry on doing what we've been doing all along, and by doing so, further pushing him away from us, or the opposite is we can surrender to him, we can recognize the sin in our lives and give the Holy Spirit permission to turn our hearts towards God. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. The third thing that is required is repentance. You know, repentance is a deliberate decision to turn our back on sin and the way that we used to live by turning towards God and living according to his way and according to his word. That word repent is a military term that I can remember back from my army days that refers to what is called an about turn or a 180 degree turnaround. In other words, I was going this way away from God, but now I'm going that way towards God. It's a complete turnaround. But we cannot be born again without repentance. You know, the truth is that there is no repentance without the confession of our sin, and there can be no confession without the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings. So essentially, without the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, it is impossible to be born again. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus that if we are born again, we must be born of water and the Spirit. You know, water always symbolizes cleansing, and when we come to a place of repentance, when Jesus takes possession of our lives, in other words, when we love him with all our hearts, we are essentially washed clean from our sins. That means that God no longer sees us as sinners, but he now sees us as righteous because we have been cleansed from all the sin that previously made us enemies of God. And never forget that. Until we are born again, we are enemies of God, no matter how good we think we are or how religious we may feel. He also said that we must be born of the Spirit, and that implies that because of the Holy Spirit's transformation that takes place within us, well, we are now empowered by the Spirit of God to keep choosing Jesus as Lord and to stay on the path that God has set before us. Because the truth is, even though we may be washed clean of our sins, when we are left to ourselves, we will always naturally drift away from God. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus also spoke of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit as being the unforgivable sin. And the reason being is that when we reject the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, well, we effectively reject the opportunity to be born again. And because without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to be born again, Jesus said that by rejecting him, we cut ourselves off from his saving power, thereby condemning ourselves to an eternity separated from God. J.C. Ryle, the great English preacher, once very, very soberingly reminded us that except a man be born again, he will wish one day that he had never been born at all. Another thing that being born again does is it produces both inner and outward change. You know, when you and I were first born, well, there was very clearly evidence that we were alive and out of the womb. We weren't just an idea or a concept, but there was tangible, visible, physical evidence. There was firstly inner change within your mom, who now no longer carried you inside her womb, but there was also outer change in that you were now visible to everyone else around you. So being born again produces tangible evidence that we are different to who we were. In fact, when you're born again, you begin to think differently, you begin to behave differently, we begin to respond differently, because the Holy Spirit now lives in us and He begins to direct our lives. Effectively, what being born again means is that we have passed from death to life. You know, there was once a man by the name of Dr. John Hutton. He was a well-known Scottish physician and member of parliament in the late 1600s. And he often used to tell the story of a construction worker he knew who for many years had been a terrible man. He was a drunk. And then he got converted to Christ and was born again. And this man's workmates did their best to make him feel like a fool. And they used to tease him and say, "Oh, surely you can't believe in miracles and things like that." They said, "Surely you don't believe that Jesus turned water into wine." And this old construction worker who'd been born again used to respond by saying, "Well, I don't know whether Jesus turned water into wine or not, but I do know that in my own household, He has turned beer into furniture." You see, the transformation in our hearts and our lives is so clearly evident that it cannot be denied by those who know us and know what we used to be like before. Friend, being born again is a spiritual experience. It's something the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. He first convicts you. He makes you realize that good works are not enough to please God and that confession of our sin is needed. It's a very definite experience where we cross over from being dead in our sins to being made alive in Christ. You know, I don't believe being born again can just be a casual happening or something coincidental that we stumble upon. No, it is the Holy Spirit deliberately working in us and us in return intentionally responding to that work of the Spirit. William Barclay once said that to be born again is to undergo such a radical change that it is like a new birth. It is to have something happen to the soul which can only be described as being born all over again. And the whole process is not a human achievement because it comes from the grace and power of God. You know, it was Friday the 13th of April 2001, of all days, Friday the 13th of April 2001, where I had a very definite experience, where I was born again and convicted by the Holy Spirit. I had grown up in church. I considered myself a good person. You know, yes, I drifted away from God in my 20s and I'd lived away from Him, but I still believed in the existence of God, and I guess I still considered myself to be something of a Christian, but I was not born again. But on that day, that Friday afternoon, the Holy Spirit fully convicted me of my sin. And I remember responding to the Holy Spirit by confessing my sin to God. I repented before the Lord. I surrendered my entire life to God. And in that moment, I received His salvation. And a transformation took place in my heart. And I knew without any doubt that I was different to before. I was born again. And I've never once doubted my salvation since that day. Why? Because the Holy Spirit seals this promise. Friend, if you intend to go to heaven one day, you must be born again. It is the only way to get there. You know, the reassuring thing for all of us is that we can know with absolute certainty that our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21, Paul writes and he says, "Now it is God who set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You know, I remember shortly after being born again that I was in a nightclub at a work function one evening, and it was a nightclub that I used to frequent often in my BC days. But I was only there for a few minutes that evening when I remember saying to Yannette, who was still my girlfriend at the time, she wasn't even my fiance, I remember turning to her and saying, I don't belong here anymore. You see, I was now a different person. I had a new heart and a new purpose. I wasn't the same anymore because I had been born again. And I remember walking out of that nightclub a few minutes later, and I've never ever walked back into another one. You know, unfortunately, many people are reluctant or hesitant to fully surrender to the Holy Spirit's conviction to be born again because they can't rationalize how it works. And perhaps like Nicodemus, you know, asking how a baby can re-enter its mother's womb, many people have similar questions and uncertainties about being born again. But the truth is that if a person doesn't want to change, they will always deliberately misunderstand what it means to be born again. And by doing so, they close themselves off to the only power that can save them from their sins. You know, in Luke chapter 13, Jesus gave quite a shocking response to those who relied on their own efforts to be made right with God, and those who thought that their good works were enough and their service to God was enough to save themselves. In Luke 13, verse 24, Jesus replied, "Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Lord, open the door for us.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'But we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets.' And he will reply, 'I tell you, I don't know you or where you came from. Get away from me, all you who do evil.'" You see, it's not enough just to be in church every now and again or to serve from time to time or even to be a good person. If we want to spend eternity with God in heaven, Jesus said, we must be born again. And as we come to a close today, I want to remind you that one day all of us will stand before God. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us that people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. We have one life to choose Jesus. We have one life to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. Friend, we have one life to be born again. You know, when we die, we will not be, as many believe, reincarnated into something else or someone else to make the decisions that we should have made when we had the chance to do so. Can I urge you, don't put off or delay making the decision that will determine where you spend eternity. You know, many people are happy doing their own thing in life, thinking, oh, one day, much later, when I've had all the fun I need to have, then I'll turn to God for forgiveness. It doesn't work like that. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity to turn to God and be born again.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.